Hi, this is Paul, and I have a repeat rando on today. This is Emily. I think I was looking at it. It was April 1st, 2019, that I posted our previous conversation, and you recently were on Chris Pacow's channel, and I thought had a tremendous conversation with him. Part of the reason that I know Chris's channel is small and not a lot of people see things, but I keep my eye on Chris's channel. And just today, in fact, he posted, I thought, a really cool summation of one of my videos. But, and so I wanted to sort of check in again, and you've been involved in the artists group, correct?
Yeah. With Sherry Harkins group, which is great.
Oh, why don't we start? As we talked about before, you've been an artist, and are you working at art full time now, or is...
Yeah, I did kind of. I mean, I'm trying, you know.
Okay.
I was doing gardening and landscaping and that kind of stuff for a while, and I've kind of moved into trying to do this and see what happens, just because I can't focus on anything else, you know. It's like, it's really grabbed my attention. So yeah, I've kind of moved into that, and I found Sherry's art group. I came to it a little bit late, but it's been, I don't know, maybe 6 months or at least something like that longer. And that has been really cool.
What kinds of things? I'm actually planning another conversation with Sherry about the group, but how have you interacted with it, and what's that been like? How's that been helpful?
Well, let's see. I came to it. How did I get to there? I don't remember how I got there, but once we start, so we talk every 2 weeks. I think we have like a group conversation, and we kind of agree on the topic, and just the conversations are so fruitful, talking to other creative people who share the same language. You know, we're watching the same videos, we're following the same people, and having that is a really big deal right now, when everybody's so into their own little niche thing. And then there's individual people in the group too who we just have great conversations. There's a Discord. It's just really productive, and we've been focusing on Exodus kind of in the background of our conversations.
Oh, really?
It's like a theme. Yeah, which has been really cool. Our next meeting is, we're going to talk about how everybody's thinking about the themes in Exodus. So I think eventually Jordan Peterson's going to do an Exodus talk eventually sometime, maybe. And so we've been focusing on, it's just very cool. It's nice to talk to like-minded people. You can kind of move the ideas forward so much more quickly that way.
How much has, since our first conversation, have you been able to connect with a bunch of the people around? I mean, you're on Bridges of Meaning every now and then. I see you there. And
there's too much. I can't keep up with.
No,
there's too much going on. It's like this bickering. Like,
yeah, there's always a lot of bickering there.
Yeah, I don't really do that. But I hang around, and then I've talked to a lot of people who are kind of periphery in this. And like, I talked to, oh, I don't know. So I talked to, like, that Brett Anderson guy.
Oh, good.
I talked to him once. I talked to, I don't know, a bunch of people, but just private conversations.
Right.
And trying to sort out my own, you know, what's going on and what do I think about this and that. And so I just hang around the edges, but I'm kind of like watching what's going on. And now, because of kind of talking to Chris, I started watching a bunch of conversations people are having, like Sherry, Nate, the Meaning Code channel, a bunch of those things.
Yep.
There's like crazy stuff going on. It's really cool. It's like the conversations I wanted to have, but didn't know how before. So it's really cool to kind of get back into the flow and see what people are talking about now. It's like, it's wild stuff.
Good.
It's really cool.
Good. Yeah. Now, where are you at in terms of, I mean, your conversation with Chris, I did a conversation with Chris not very long ago, sort of, you know, usually my first conversation with someone is sort of their background, their story, where they're standing with stuff. So where are you at in terms of Christianity, the church, because you were raised, it's kind of fundamentalist, but your parents didn't go to church. I mean, all that stuff is in the first conversation. Where are you at with this kind of stuff right now?
Well, I went to church a couple times in the last few weeks, actually.
Okay.
Since Christmas, there's a church called Res Life down the way. Mm-hmm. Went there. It was okay. We went to one church where there was a lot of like theatrical kind of stuff. Didn't like that.
Okay.
But I just don't I mean, I'm going, but I don't really know why, to be honest, but I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to do it. I don't really know why. The Christianity, I think of myself as a Christian, but then when I hear from other Christians, then I start going, am I? Like, I don't know what counts, or something like that. But I think that I, in my personal life, I think of myself as a Christian, but I'm not really attending church. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, one of the first things you said to me in the first conversation, because I watched some of it in preparation for this, was that growing up, I mean, your parents sort of had maintain a Christian identity, but don't necessarily get involved in church deeply. And you know, just the first 50, I'll put the link of our first conversation below, but just the, you know, really the first 15 minutes, one of the things that was quite impressive about, you're an autodidact in some ways, because you read Church Fathers, you've read a lot of Jung. Jung is not easy to read.
No. So I'm still doing that. I'm reading the same book. I've read Aeon for like the past 6 years. I mean,
really,
you can't just pick up a Jungian book and just go, I get it, like right away. You have to reorient your worldview just to interact with him. So yeah, I've been sticking with that really hard, and I've read Maps of Meaning, and yeah, so I was kind of raised into this Christian identity, but kind of a materialist, secular mindset, or, you know, that's where we're acting things out. But I had this identity that was Christian, and that those didn't mesh. I couldn't figure out the Bible. It was so confusing. So Jung was the thing that really helped. And then having a crazy psychedelic trip that just turned things over for me.
A lot of your conversation with Chris was about psychedelics. And of course, that's been an active part of our channel. Is that something mostly in your past, or is it an ongoing thing, or?
I don't really do that. I don't do that now. Okay. I might dabble, you know, microdosing is kind of a thing that's interesting, but I don't think you should just be taking mushrooms all the time or whatever you're taking. These are so powerful, so dangerous. And it was so beneficial. Like, it was so meaningful and so beneficial, but you can't just like mess with those things that are so powerful. So it's a past thing. And then I needed to integrate that experience. I mean, I had this experience, but it's not like mushrooms teaches you how to behave now or how to see things now. It kind of opens things up. You get this crazy experience. It breaks down all these boundaries and categories. And then you come back to your regular life and go, okay, now what? You know, how do I square that with the way I'm living and what I'm thinking about? And so it's taken like years to kind of work around that and integrate it, which I think we don't talk about enough. We just kind of go like, psychedelics is going to cure depression or smoking or whatever. And there's a lot of work after that, I think, that usually needs to get done.
So would you say that a lot of your focus now is on basically integrating, piecing your life together, doing your art?
Yeah. I spent a long time focusing on just the biblical lectures. I did like a series on Genesis of drawings to help me process how do I experience this? How does this make sense to me? How do I really interact with these narratives and stories that are so fundamental? I spent maybe 2 years just drawing like four or five drawings from Genesis and just like working that over. And I think by the end, I was different than when I started. When I started, I felt like a different person from the beginning of that to the end of that. And it was a lot of integrating that experience that happened and sort of looking at Peterson, looking at Jung, reading some Church Fathers, you know, all over the place, but trying to build a worldview that I could operate in, like a symbolic worldview that I could operate in, so that I could operate, you know, instead of just kind of being stalled, not knowing what's going on. The materialist thing was not working, not making sense. So it changed a lot of things. And then now I'm kind of thinking about Exodus a lot, but I think it's going to be like a process. I've tried to start a big drawing for like 3 times and I can't seem to get there. So I think I have to let it bake more. But
So tell me more, because it sounds like, and I think this is probably true for a lot of artists, you do, I do videos in order to process. And I've learned that in, once I started doing videos, I very quickly learned that by the end of the video, I knew more, or at least I felt like I knew more than I did at the beginning of the video. And so, and I'm not always, there's a tension in that where in some ways the video is supposed to be a product. And that's why I kind of put a disclaimer on my channel, because I regularly still get comments about, boy, he's sure rambling and he's going off on this and that, and I can't follow it. And it's like, yeah, you're kind of there for the creative process. Is that how you approach art? I mean, is that what it is for you?
I think so. It's like trying to answer a question or trying to articulate something that is pre-verbal and just barely making it into images. You know, if you have an experience that's so outside of everything that you know, sometimes you can't talk about it. You know, there's no words for that. So, but images will come up. You'll have dreams. I'm doodling all the symbols coming up. You go, why is this such a thing now? Why do I have to focus on this symbol? You know, but so it comes up in images and symbols and things like that first, I think, for me. And then maybe now I can kind of talk about it, but I couldn't even talk about it for so long. I had to kind of show it first, I think. And now I can kind of talk about it, depends, on the day.
So what did you learn from, I'm interested. Now you do have a website, and I think I can, is it the same? Do you have a website? Do you still have a website?
I have one, but I need to work on it. So maybe by the, I have to change a couple of things. So maybe by the time you post this, I don't know how long it takes, but I can probably add a link for that.
Okay. Maybe we'll wait for the link.
I have an Instagram, and I do sell prints and stuff. You can look at my stuff, but my website's a little.
You'll have to at least send me the Instagram, and then Instagram is usually a little more up to date than people's websites, because websites are a little more. So you did a series on Genesis, sort of following Peterson's lectures. And so can you, I mean, obviously that makes me really want to take a look at what you did. Do you have those archived at all anywhere, or images of them, or did you
it's on Instagram. I think I sent you a couple, but they were attached. They're out there. You can see them. If you go on my Instagram, you can see it.
Okay.
It's not traditional biblical illustration, I will say that, but right. It's kind of showing this sort of reorientation of experience that I've been having, I guess, or it's like the psychological, I call it the psychedelic Bible series, but really it's not about like taking psychedelics. It's about like the psyche, like, you know, more about that for me than like, you know, psychedelics, like taking something and having seeing crazy stuff. So,
so it almost sounds like in some ways that, you had at one point experimented with psychedelics, but it almost sounds like the art and the process are what's much more central in your processing now.
Yeah, definitely. The psychedelics it's like a tool, or the way people are talking about it really concerns me now, because it's kind of like a pill, something you can take, a quick fix. It's just the beginning. The psychedelic doesn't, it's not the thing, right? It doesn't get you anywhere. Like, you have to still put in the work. There still has to be something after that. So it's not the thing. It's just kind of like it broke down these sort of categories I was living in that I thought were just solid, this sort of like materialists, like, kind of rationalistic secular worldview. It just broke that apart, and I didn't have anything after that. It was very lost and chaotic, and then you kind of have to make sense out of all this like nonsense, right? So you're flooded with information, and you have to start picking apart and seeing what's meaningful and what's not, and what's valuable and what's not. And So the psychedelics is just, it's just like one piece of this way bigger thing. I mean, you can have a crazy experience without psychedelics. It's just as powerful and wild. And yeah, that it doesn't take psychedelics to, you know, have a crazy vision or something like that.
Well, and you don't. I know a lot of people who have come into, I mean, often it's pieces of their life blow apart. Some, you know, sometimes it's completely unwanted, but these dramatic and sometimes traumatic events in their life force them to take a look at everything. You know, in some ways, so I'm working on, I'm really struggling right now to articulate this connection between like the critical drinker and his videos, which seem so in a certain place, and Jordan Peterson's, because in some ways they're working on the same project. And I want to sort of illustrate that. And I've had two failed video attempts, which is very unusual for me because I'll post just about anything. But people have to put their life together. And in fact, I think part of growing up is in fact this process of when I listened to, it was in the esoteric conversation where they're talking about snakes molting, shedding their skin. At some point, even just the normal process of growing up, probably all of the things that are holding you are going to have to, deconstruct is a popular word now, in some ways going to have to come apart and die so that something new can emerge. I've been rereading C.S. Lewis's A Pilgrim's Regress, and there's a lot of flaws in that book in some ways, but it's also a quite a fun and prescient book, especially for being 90 years old. So I'm curious. Let me ask the question this way, because this is the question that popped into my mind. You're doing all this stuff. You're doing art. You're working through, you know, you work through the Genesis stuff. Now with the art group, you're working through the Exodus stuff. What do you want and what are you looking for?
That's a good question. Well, there's an aspect of community in this kind of thing, but then again, online community is not the same as a real community. But there's such an exchange of information that can happen in this online space, and you can transform because of a conversation. So that's very real and cool. But I think maybe there's two, just because of being an artist, there's an aspect of just expressing my experience as I experience it, and what I'm really interested in. I don't know. I want to see this corner of things grow. I think this is where it's at. I think everything exciting is happening here with these like weird conversations that people are having, and this corner of things is so interesting. I don't see what's more interesting than this. I mean, we've got like Peugeot putting out things. There's like there's something building up, and it's starting to get crystallized to where it can be expressed. I think there's, you know, Peugeot put out his comic book, his channel's growing, he's talking to tons of people, you're talking to people, Pearson's having like the Four Horsemen thing is going on, there's other artists who are sort of picking up this, they're either making religious art or it's art that centers around dealing with their religious problem, grappling with these religious problems, and I think it's just, it's like it's all rolling together, and I just want to like participate in that wave of things.
Yeah. I guess my question was bigger though, because I think the question
in general in
well,
life.
Yes. And I, because we're as a culture, we're bumping into some pretty existential problems and I really think ceilings. And I think in many ways, I agree with Peterson that artists function in the overall community, beyond the artists group, function in the overall community as in some ways seers. Artists have, you know, Hebrew, almost all Hebrew prophecy is in poetry, for one thing. For the Hebrews, words were the medium of their expression and artistry. Mm-hmm. Unlike, let's say, you know, Egyptians and statuary and Greek statuary, and of course then the classical period on throughout. But, you know, for me, when I think of what we want is glory, but I don't see that in the first person sense. So I want glory for myself, because that sort of seeking glory for oneself is always a diminishment of glory. Glory is, you know, I often tell the illustration that let's say if someone's artistry is in baking, there's all these baking shows on now, like cake baking. A true artist would maybe put a cake on the table, hold back, and watch people come to the cake, you know, not feeling watched necessarily, but tasting it. Because what the artist is looking for is for their product, which is in many ways their beloved, okay, to transform those that engage with it.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay,
yeah.
What do I want? I don't know if when I make things that it's that directed. Mm-hmm. If I'm thinking like, I hope this influences you in a particular way, it's like it's an exploration of something. And but what I suspect is the spirit of it, or the thing behind it, is it's like materialism has got to go. That kind of way of thinking. I think finding myself in this sort of, I don't know, like post-Protestant, like very secular place where many, many people around me are. It's like a return to this enchanted, Pedro calls it enchanted worldview, but it's really, I think, I don't know what it is. It's this massive shift in attention back towards what's sacred. And I think it's to do with that. And maybe like what's unknown. I'm not sure, there's so much that's unknown. We don't talk about that a lot. We talk about the things we do know. And there's a lot of things we don't. Like if you start having anomalous experiences, crazy dreams, like synchronicities, or you have a vision, or you start thinking, you realize there's so much that you don't know, and just maybe kind of looking at that, those really meaningful but unexplainable things. I think that's usually what I'm focused on, is that, but it's the actual experience of it. I don't want to like remake the same Bible illustration that has been made over and over again. I have to show it how I'm feeling it, really, or something like that. So I guess that's where it is. But really, I think it's just, we have like, the function of art is pointing back towards reality or the sacred or God, or, you know, how you can't really point at God, but you know, the trying to do that, just like reaching to do that, I think is essential. And we didn't talk about that when I was in art school, that didn't come up.
What did come up in, because one of the things I did want to ask you is, you were, when I talked to you before, you were just out of college, and we didn't talk about that at all. You studied art in college?
I did. I went to Kendall downtown. Yep. It's a small art school I studied illustration. And I totally lost interest in art by the time I got out of college, because I was being kind of set up to do freelance illustration for magazines or websites or whatever. And I was busy thinking about, I'm like obsessed with Bible stories and reading, you know, listening to Jordan Peterson and Jung. And I'm like,
and there wasn't much room for that in art
school.
There was
none of that. They didn't talk about symbolism. They didn't talk about, I mean, in art history, like the history of Western art is essentially a religious history. Yeah. It's all religious up until like very short modern period, and then it becomes like schizophrenic kind of style. And the professors who were well-educated and well-intentioned explained art from ancient times as being about power and being about, this is how the king kept status. And it was missing this whole element of reality in which you go, okay, there's something, like, where's the mystery? Where's, like, you're telling me those people didn't really believe the kind of art they were making. They didn't believe that that was a representation of something real. They were just doing it as like a power game. You know, that's ridiculous.
That was the message you got in school.
That was the message I got in school. And so when I took acid, I had this crazy trip. I started drawing differently completely. And in this way that I now kind of look at as going, well, this is like the more traditional way to make like religious art, or, it's focused on something. It's trying to show something, I don't know, archetypal, like something deeper than just sort of the contemporary art scene is just so empty and nihilistic. And I mean, what's there for you? I mean, it's just weird. So I didn't learn about any of that. And I kind of pushed away from all of that. I started just working, you know, like I started doing like gardening and landscaping because I'm like, I gotta just get away from that. And I listened to a lot of Pajot. That was the first person I'd ever heard who said art has like a sacred function. There's a real purpose behind this. I'd never heard that before, you know, and I'm a person who probably would naturally gravitate to that kind of thing. He's influenced a ton of young artists that I'm following on Instagram and other places who are going, yes, this makes sense. This is helpful. We got to do this, right? And they're so into it, but it's just kind of an underground thing right now. It's just getting going. You know, he's planting seeds. I think he says that, like, he's planted a lot of seeds. That's been so helpful for me, for sure.
So this is fascinating how, you know, so Karen, of course, Karen Wong with the Meaning Code channel, I mean, she's an artist, you know, Sherry with the artist group, Sevilla, I don't know if you know her as much. She's the, she does the stuff on Persig and Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. When I talked to her, she, you know, she also went to art school, but then eventually she became a therapist. And so that's some of the stuff that she's been doing. In listening to your story here, a lot of similarities and resonance between when I talked to Pajot the first time, because of course I did with him what I do with everyone, is I dig out the story a little bit. And so it's very interesting how this is, why the Bible? That must have been, I mean, you're living in Grand Rapids now, although whenever I say that, some of my friends in Grand Rapids say, well, Grand Rapids isn't like Grand Rapids used to be. Grand Rapids is just kind of a big city now.
And no, I think they're confused because they're from Grand Rapids and they think this is like a big city. Like, I mean, I'm sorry. Like it's bigger and there's more stuff. Like, definitely. I know what they mean. But, you know, this is still kind of like a Midwest industrial city with like a strong church community. And there's like the Dutch population here, like the Dutch mafia. That's what it is. They're all friends with each other. They all go to the same school. It's like everybody knows each other. It's all Vander this and Vander that. And I like it here, but it's got a very strong like.
Yeah. It's got its own culture.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But the Bible has been, it's interesting that the Bible has been so central in at least the art that you've talked to me about.
Yeah. I don't know. I was always into it. I mean, we didn't go to church, but I grew up reading the kids' Bible and then, you know, the real Bible. And, and it, maybe because I'm, you know, like more open and creative, the stories grabbed me, or I don't know, but it's just, it's always stuck with me. Even when I was having like the deepest doubts and struggles, I was reading about the early church and I was reading about how the Bible was put together, and I never stopped being just obsessed with it, really. And maybe that's just a personal quirk, I don't know, but it's always just, it's like got me, you know.
Well, you shouldn't apologize to a pastor about that. That's true. Pastors love to hear that. Trust me.
Yeah, no,
But as a pastor, you know, we approach the Bible, you know, in such a different way, because there's a professional layer of that for us. And there's obviously a tradition that we have to fit into with our own particular churches. Well, what Bible stories grab you?
The beginning and the end. I mean, mostly.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, going through creation is like, if you read the beginning, the creation story, if you sit with that for a few months, and you just look at it and you look at the patterns and you look at the way it's showing something. I mean, it's fractal and it's trippy and it's weird and it's so intense. And I mean, I like Revelation probably because it's so full of imagery.
Have you done any art from Revelation or tried that?
No, that's too much. I'm saving that for.
For when you're later. Older?
Yeah, when I'm older. Yeah.
I think that's wise.
That's too much. Yeah, that's, I mean, I like it, but there's a lot going on there and I don't understand it. I'm not going to pretend that I understand.
The book of Revelation is, in my opinion, I spent 75 weeks on it with my adult Sunday school class. In my opinion, the book of Revelation is an attempt to update the Old Testament prophets in the light of the apostles' experience with Jesus and the experience of Jesus in the new church. And so you can't understand the book of Revelation without understanding Exodus and Daniel and Ezekiel. It's like all of those things plus more put into that book. And every time I look at Christian illustrators attempt to render something from the book, I almost always think they're going about it the wrong way, because if you just read the descriptions, they're not linear.
No, and there's so much, and it just, I think you, when Peterson talks about Revelation, he says like, I think the guy was having a psychedelic trip. And I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think so either. I think the imagery is clearly drawn right from the Old Testament, but it's.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure he's like saturated in that culture. So it makes sense to draw from those things. You can kind of make that argument that that's okay that he references all the old stuff, because of course he would be like, you know, saturated in those symbols and things. But I just think you don't have to have a trip to have a time. Like, those things happen to people. Yeah. I mean, people see things. So I don't know. And I just don't know enough about it. It's so dense. It's like, just getting into Exodus is like, that's enough. It's so much, you know. I mean, Genesis was enough. That was a lot.
Good.
So,
good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I've peppered you with questions. I don't know if you had anything you wanted to ask me or pursue me about. I don't know if you've kept on up on. I put out way too many videos for anybody to follow.
Yeah, there's too many videos. I don't know about questions. I'm just excited to see where this goes, I guess. I don't know. It seems like it's going places. People are doing things. So, I don't know about questions. There's just like too many things, you know, to fit into one conversation.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to check in, and because I saw you on Chris's channel, and so I just wanted to. You looked like you were doing fine, and it sounded like you were doing fine, and I wanted to see where these last, you know, going on 3 years now. It'd be 3 years this coming April.
Yeah.
Where that took you. So I'm glad to see you're still working your art. And I too am excited to see where all this takes you.
Yeah. I'm doing a Chris and I have, Chris wrote a children's book.
Really?
And he couldn't get it. He didn't get it like illustrated and stuff before, but we're going to work together on that now. It's a children's book kind of based around the book of Job. We're doing that, which is
a children's book based on the book of Job.
But it, he's wrote it. He did a really good job writing it. I saw it and I was like, this is really cool. And there's been some really cool conversations between people about stuff surrounding those topics, like kind of in the, you know, in the different channels. And so we're starting that. We're excited about it. I'm hoping that like real things come from, you know, like these conversations, like collaborations and actual interesting things. You know, we've still got the Grand Rapids meetup going on here, which people should come to. I'm hosting the next one, so people should come. Not enough people are coming.
Well, one of these days, because Grand Rapids is a place before COVID, it's a place I got to with relative frequency. If I'm, for example, this summer, if I'm a synodical deputy or a synodical delegate, I'll be heading to Grand Rapids. And so if I do, I definitely want to meet the Grand Rapids meetup.
Yeah, yeah. Bonnie and Bernie have been hosting it and they're great, but they're going to be gone. So I'm going to like kind of stand in for them a little like next time. But I know there's people in Grand Rapids and they should come because I know like I know they're there. They're just not showing up. So,
well, maybe we'll have to time this video. How close is the meetup date?
Next one is 3 weeks.
Oh, good. So we got time.
Yeah.
So get to me any links that you want to include with this video and your Instagram and all of that. And then we'll see if we can beat the bushes in Grand Rapids and see if anybody else decides they want to come out.
Yeah, that would be great. There's one more thing I want to toss out there as long as we're talking about stuff like that. So I've been kind of putting this off because I haven't really been talking to this little community that much. In the past few years, I've been getting my own stuff together, but I'd really love to talk to people who either have had a psychedelic experience or have had a religious experience that's been transformative.
Okay.
Because I've talked to some people privately who've had, it seems like the same story. Something crazy happens to them. They're trying to work through it. And I'd love to just talk to more people who are having that and compare what's going on with people and how that's going. And yes, I've talked to people privately, but it'd be cool to kind of get a wider audience in this circle, like talking about that, yeah. I think.
Do you know the Randos United channel?
I know I'm subscribed to it, but I don't really know what they're doing there.
Look for a recent conversation. Both these guys are on the Discord server. A recent conversation between Kalepa and John.
That did pop up in my
video. It's 2+ hours, but Kalepa he doesn't walk through his whole story. He's been on my channel before. He told his story on my channel. He told his story to Job early on an audio version, but he walks through the entire psychedelic aspect of his journey in that video. I'll put that video below too. I thought that was one of the best personal testimonies that I've heard that sort of balances all of this stuff out. And he's at this point now, he has a fair amount of perspective on it. And so that, if you're interested in that, I definitely pursue Kalepa and do a conversation with him.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
And also Nick, I don't know. I call him Four Cult Nick sometimes.
I don't know who that is.
He's also in the Discord server. He was the one who hosted John Vervaeke when John Vervaeke was on the Discord server doing the question and answer for me.
Okay.
He's an artisan in Santa Cruz here in California. And I've done a whole series of his story on my channel. And he also has a fair amount of experience with this. So again, if you go onto the Discord server and look for Kalepa and look for, I forget what Nick's handle is there, but if you ask and you say, this is the Nick that Paul's talked to, calls him for, I mean, he'll show up too. Those are two guys you very much want to talk to because they've both got a lot of wisdom and some ballast and experience. And, you know, those are often the kind of people you can gain a lot of wisdom from because it isn't a new discovery for them. It's integrated into their story and they've figured out how it's worked with them.
I think that would be great. I think when Peterson said on that Four Horsemen video that the church is going to have to talk about psychedelics, I just think we should like get that going. You know, we should start having these fringe conversations about it.
Well, I'll tell you, I'd be willing. I mean, especially with, I'm always happy to talk to Nick. Nick's an amazing guy. Kalep, I don't know as well, but I was really impressed by that. So this might be something that we put together. I'm always a little reluctant with this subject because as a pastor, I also know stories of people who, these are dangerous drugs.
Yeah.
And I know people who have experimented with these drugs and other drugs. They've stroked out. I mean, they've been permanently disabled.
Yeah.
Because of their experimentation. And so.
Totally. And I think maybe that's why we should talk about it, because it's seeping into the culture. It's probably going to become legal before too long.
Yeah.
You know, and people are going to do it, and they're going to look for places to say, hey, is anybody else going through this? You know, is this happening to other people? And, you know, the secular culture isn't going to be able to provide, I don't think, a meaningful enough framework to work through something like that. So I just think it's something that might be cool to get into, particularly here in this little community.
Okay. Yeah. Well, send me the links that you want included. If you want a little bit more time to spruce up your website, that's fine. There's no urgent need to release this, but we'll get it out before your, and then send me the, you know, some, whatever contact you're using for your meetup, so that people who'd say, I want to go to the Grand Rapids meetup, and they can then figure that out. So,
yep.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah, great talking to you again, Emily.
That was great talking to you too, Paul.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.